Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our Gospel reading, Jesus was transfigured before them, and a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." This is our text. There's a good reason that St. Peter wanted to stay with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. After all, we were created for communion with God. We see this in the way the Bible begins and ends. In the book of Genesis, before sin came, God is pictured as being in close relationship with Adam and Eve, walking in the garden. And in Revelation, it says that the dwelling of place of God is with man. So the transfiguration is like going back to the beginning or skipping forward to the end. God and man are together again. And there is in each of us a longing to be close to God, a longing even to see God. There is a desire to know God in his majesty. You might remember from the Old Testament that Moses at one point asked to see the glory of God. He was only allowed to see God's glory from the back, not face to face. Later, Elijah, when he is in despair, is looking for a sign of God's presence, and he encountered God not in an earthquake or in a wind, but in a still small voice, in the sound of a low whisper. So when St. Peter had that kind of a moment, when he saw the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ, it's no wonder that he wanted to put up a tent and stay there. And even if he wasn't thinking about charging admission or selling peanuts, popcorn, and candy jacks for a view of God's glory, he at least wanted to keep God near, to be close to God. And it is good to be close to God. And you know, you and I would do the exact same thing as St. Peter because we have that exact same longing and desire within us, the desire to be close to God. But the point of the Transfiguration is not in what it captures, but in what it reveals. The Transfiguration reveals that God is close to us in Jesus Christ. God is close to us in Jesus Christ, and yet we don't always feel particularly close to God. This is a common experience among Christians, and I say that because that's what people tell me, what people in the congregation tell me at times, that they don't feel close to God. And I say that it's a common experience for Christians because there are also times when I don't feel particularly close to God. If you feel that way now, then I want you to know that it's not unusual and it's not unique to you. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean that your faith is weak. It doesn't mean that God loves you any less. To be honest, our feelings don't count for much, and they certainly don't tell us whether or not God is close to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we just need to stuff our feelings down and pretend like they don't exist. Our feelings are real, even if they are only feelings. And sometimes we do feel like God is distant. Sometimes we do feel that we are separated from him. Sometimes we feel spiritually dry, as if we're just going through the motions. Sometimes we feel like a shadow or a veil hangs between us and him. Of course, when I say this, it's not just our spiritual life that feels like this at times, because there are times when we can and when we do feel this way about all of life. And to be honest, it isn't really surprising to me at this time that I hear people saying a little bit more often that they feel distant from God. It seems especially true right now in the middle of a long, strange, isolating, overwhelming winter with a virus that just won't go away. It affects our health. It affects our relationships. It affects our work. It shouldn't surprise us that it also affects our life in Christ. So right now, you might find it harder to read Scripture and harder to pray. Right now, you might find it harder to go to church even, and maybe difficult to talk to fellow Christians. If that's how you feel, fine. But don't base what you do on your feelings. Don't stop reading Scripture. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming. And don't stop speaking to Christians. There are, of course, times when we feel distant from God because of guilt or shame or pain or loss. When St. Peter first had a sense of who Jesus really is, he fell right down on his knees and he told Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But of course, Jesus doesn't depart. He doesn't go away. Instead, he removes St. Peter's sin and he forgives him. And even that forgiveness, even being close to Jesus in that way, didn't prevent Peter from sinning again and again. There were times when he had in mind the things of man and not the things of God. And there was, of course, the time when he denied our Lord 3 times, when our Lord was on trial. And once again, after every sin, Jesus draws near to Peter with love and with forgiveness. So if your separation or distance from God is because of sin, then confess your sin and hear his forgiveness. If it is shame that hangs over you like a veil, cling to the righteousness and holiness of God that covers you in Christ. And if it's pain and sorrow that makes you feel distant from God, then cry out and lament to him. The Psalms are filled with cries of lamentation, of sorrow, of anger, of frustration, of pain. And as you confess, as you cry out, as you cling to God, don't look for God in your feelings. Look for him in his word. And don't trust your feelings to tell you about God, but rather trust what he himself tells you in that word. As we consider the readings today, I'm struck by the contrast between what we heard in the first reading from Exodus and what we hear in the gospel reading from Mark. In Exodus, when Moses came down from the mountain with his face reflecting the glory of God, the people were afraid. So Moses veiled his face. He hid that glory. The glory of God seen in Moses is hidden and covered. What does this mean? The law comes through Moses. God gave his people the Ten Commandments by the hand of Moses. The law is good. The Ten Commandments are good and true and right. But they don't reveal the full glory of God. Through the law, God is veiled to us. It reveals God's will to us. It guides us in our daily lives, but it also, and most of all, shows us our sin. That's why the face of Moses is veiled. Because the law shows the great chasm, the great divide between us and God on account of our sin. But in the gospel reading, it's so different. In the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John see the glory of God unveiled. The face of Jesus is not hidden. It's bright and glowing and alive. You could say that the chasm between God and man has been crossed here in the person of Jesus Christ so that he might be near us, so that God might be close to us. The Son of God took on human flesh and he became man. And he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was baptized in the Jordan River, and he revealed himself in glory to the 3 disciples on the mountain. The humble veil is parted. The 3 of them and all of us see who Jesus always and fully is, that he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and he is our God. A God so near to us that he became like us. He took on our flesh. A God so near to us that he could be heard and that he could be touched. A God so near to us that he could take our sin on his shoulders and our shame on his back. A God so near to us that he is able to suffer and die and be buried in a grave like ours. He came from heaven to earth to remove our sin. He came from heaven to earth to cover our shame. He came from heaven to earth to bear our pain and our loss. He came so that we might be close to God, not by anything that we have done or by anything that we could possibly do, but by what he himself has done. I want to emphasize this point in a slightly different way. And I'd like to point out that the mountain of Transfiguration isn't the only place where Peter and James and John are close to God. It may be the most obvious place because of the glory that is shining on the mountain, but it is not the only place. And in fact, it isn't even the most important place. The Transfiguration shows who Jesus is, but it shows who Jesus is so that they will know him even when they come down from the mountain, even when they descend to the valley and the plain, so that they will know who Jesus is even when Moses and Elijah are gone and only Jesus is there, so that they will know who Jesus is even when his clothing is no longer radiantly dazzling, but when it is intensely dirty and blood-stained, so that they will know who Jesus is even when his face is transfigured by whips and thorns and strikes and blows, transfigured with pain and bruises and lacerations and blood. Jesus hid his glory, and he came down from the mountain to bring us close to God in the cross. How do we know that God is close to us in Jesus Christ? We know it not by the glory and the shining, but not by our feelings or the heights that we are on. We know it by the cross. This is why we give our confirmands and our new members a crucifix, so that they can see and remember the glory of God in dying for them. The glory of God in dying for you. We know the glory of God through what Jesus suffered and bore for us. And this is the God who reveals himself still to you, not on the mountaintop only, but also in the valley and in the plain. The God who shows himself to you not only when you are feeling good, but also in times when you are feeling bad. Not only when life is going well, but even when life is going in a difficult and challenging way. And this is why we gather here, to hear God's word. Why we gather here to put our baptisms back on. Why we gather here to receive the body and blood of Jesus. And why those who can't come can listen to the service from home. It is good for us to be with Jesus in his word and in his sacraments. And dear friends, these gifts of God in Christ, the gifts that are present in his church, they aren't given to us so that we would feel close to God, though sometimes we do. They are given to us so that we might actually be close to God. And that is what happens as we hear the word of Christ and as we receive his very body and blood into our mouths. Whether we feel it or not, God is coming close to us, and the glory of God is being revealed and shown to us in Christ through his mercy and through his love. We are close to God in Christ as we receive the forgiveness, the life and salvation that he won for us on the cross. Because the glory of God is not only to shine on the Mount of Transfiguration, but the glory of God is to die for sinners like you and me, and to give that forgiveness of sins to us. And so he does, over and over and over again. In fact, one way you can picture what happens in the service is you can see this as a little mountain where Jesus comes with that glory of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and then descends to you to give all of it to you, that you might have that glory not only in Jesus' face, but actually in your mouth as well. Indeed, we could say that what is revealed to Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, we actually have more certain and more sure through the Word and the sacraments. A God who is for us in Jesus Christ. And we can see that God is for us as we reflect on Christ. And we can look to our lives, whether we are going through pain and cry out, Lord, have mercy, or whether we are going through some ordinary routine life in which we can praise and thank God. We know that He remains close and not far away. We know that our sins are forgiven through Christ. We know that life and salvation belong to us now and forever. So we are always close to God, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, by our baptisms and through His Word and by this Holy Communion. And as we look ahead from the Mount of Transfiguration to the beginning of the season of Lent, I'd like to encourage you to set aside time every day to draw close to God as He comes close to you in His Word. I heard a pastor recently make the remark that the number of minutes in a day is about 1,400, so 1% of your day amounts to 14 minutes. Consider perhaps taking 14 minutes each day to draw close to God as He comes close to you. And whether you feel close to Him in those moments or not, you can be assured that you are close to Him, because He has promised. He has promised to be there in His Word. He has promised to be here in His sacrament. He has promised that He is with you always, even to the end of the age. So whatever we may feel at any particular moment, we will never be truly far from the One who is the source of our life and our hope. We will never be far from the One who gave His life for us and rose from the dead, that we might have His glory now and live in His glory forever. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.